Welcome in, everyone. Ready to uncork some knowledge about the U.S. wine world?
Oh, absolutely.
Today's deep dive is all about separating hype from reality in a market that's valued at, get this, over $107 billion.
Wow.
We're swirling, sniffing, and analyzing the trends shaping the future of this industry, all thanks to the 2024 BMO Wine Market Report.
Yeah, this report is fascinating. It doesn't just tell us, you know, what's happening, but it really dives into the why.
Okay.
We're talking like economics, right? Consumer behavior, the whole dance between supply and demand.
Right.
It's a lot more complex than it might seem at first glance.
Right. I mean, $107 billion, that's a serious chunk of change. But the report, you know, it doesn't just celebrate the wins, it gets real about the challenges too.
Yeah.
Turns out 2023, you know, wasn't all vineyard sunsets and celebratory toasts.
Yeah, not quite. Not quite. Remember those supply chain disruptions that seemed to impact, well, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the wine industry definitely felt the ripple effects. On top of that, consumer habits, you know, post-pandemic, right?
Mm-hmm.
That threw another curveball. We saw a bit of an inventory hangover.
Okay, gotta admit, inventory hangover is a term I haven't heard before.
Okay.
What exactly does that
Okay,
add?
So imagine this.
Okay.
Empty shelves during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Right. Everyone's stocking up.
Right.
Distributors, consumers, like, it's the apocalypse.
Yeah.
Turns out, you know, collectively, maybe we overdid it.
So, like, when I thought I needed a whole case of Cabernet to get through lockdown.
Exactly.
Yeah, I see where you're going with this.
Right. And now those overstock sellers, they're impacting the market.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the kicker. Even though total wine volume dipped in 2023, the amount of money spent on wine actually went up.
Hold on. We're spending more but drinking less.
Yeah.
Help me understand this. It feels like a paradox.
Yeah, it's a key insight. And it suggests this fascinating shift, I think, in consumer behavior. The report points to, you know, a couple of possibilities, right?
No.
Maybe people are just becoming more discerning about their wine.
Mm.
They're opting for quality over quantity, you
mm-hmm.
know? Or maybe those pricier bottles, they're fulfilling this desire for something special in a world that's felt, well, anything but normal these days, right?
Yeah.
Either way, I think it makes you wonder, like, what does this say about how we view and value wine now?
It really makes you think, are we after taste or status or experience or maybe a bit of all three, right?
Right, right.
This is where things get really interesting. Okay, so we're spending more on fewer but fancier bottles.
Right.
But who exactly is the modern wine drinker? Are we all becoming sommeliers in training, or is there more to the story?
Well, it's funny you should ask.
Okay.
What's fascinating here is this generational changing of the guard.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The report breaks down wine consumption by generation.
Oh, right.
And it turns out baby boomers,
yeah,
the generation that really embraced wine early on, they're actually drinking less as they age.
Makes total sense. Priorities shift.
Right.
My parents are all about herbal tea these days.
Yeah.
Can barely get them to split a bottle at dinner.
It's so relatable, right?
Totally.
And it's not just your parents. I mean, this trend of boomers drinking less it's pretty widespread.
Yeah.
Stepping in to fill their glasses, we've got Gen X, Millennials, Gen Z.
Okay.
These generations now make up the majority of wine drinkers.
Wow.
Which has a big impact on the types of wines we're seeing on the shelves these days.
That's a powerful shift. So what are these younger generations looking for in their wine? I mean, are we talking bolder flavors, Instagrammable labels, a deeper focus on sustainability?
Yeah.
What's the vibe?
All of the above. I mean, this younger demographic, they're definitely more experimental, right?
Okay.
More open to trying new things, new flavors, natural wines.
Yeah.
Orange wines, you know. They're also more concerned with sustainability and ethical sourcing.
Right.
You know, wanting to know where their wine comes from, how it's made, and they're also interested in the story behind the bottle.
Right.
The place, you know.
It's like that craft beer boom.
Yes.
Smaller batches, more experimentation, a focus on quality ingredients, and a story in every sip.
Exactly.
You
got it.
Okay.
Now, while we're talking trends,
okay,
we can't forget about the sober curious movement.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It's everywhere these days.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely a thing.
Mocktail bars, zero-proof spirits. Even wine alternatives are popping up left and right.
Yeah, I've even dabbled in some of those myself.
Right.
So with all this talk of mindful drinking, are people actually drinking less alcohol overall?
You know, that's where the data gets a bit tricky.
Okay.
Well, the sober curious movement is definitely having a moment.
Right.
Overall, alcohol consumption in the U.S. has stayed relatively stable.
Interesting.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, are people just being less honest about their drinking habits when they're surveyed? You know, there's a lot of social pressure around alcohol these days. So maybe the surveys aren't capturing the full picture.
It's like the unspoken pressure to always be on, even with our drinking choices.
Yeah, totally.
Maybe opting for a mocktail is the new it drink,
right?
At least publicly.
Yeah.
But back to those high-end sippers we talked about earlier.
Right.
The report mentioned that almost a third of wine drinkers are regularly shelling out over $20 a bottle.
Wow.
That's a testament to the power of a good Cabernet, right?
It really is.
Yeah.
But I think it goes beyond just the wine itself, right?
Okay.
This willingness to spend more on a single bottle speaks to, I think, a growing sophistication in the American palate.
Okay.
A desire for quality.
Yeah.
And a sense of adventure.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
People are willing to invest in experiences, even if it means buying one less bottle overall.
I can definitely relate to that. Sometimes it's about treating yourself to something special, something you'll really savor and remember.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, beyond generational shifts and spending habits, what I find most encouraging is that the face of the wine drinker is changing.
In what way?
It's becoming more diverse.
Okay.
Reflecting the broader demographic shifts that we're seeing in the U.S.
So it's not just about, like, age or how much you spend. It's about inclusivity.
Exactly.
Wine becoming more accessible and appealing to a wider range of people.
Huh.
That's something to raise a glass to.
Absolutely. And speaking of those crafting the wine, let's turn our attention to the wineries themselves.
Okay.
What are their thoughts on all these changes?
Right.
What keeps them up at night? Let's find out.
We've talked about, like, the changing tastes of wine drinkers, this evolving market.
Right.
But what about the people, you know, behind the scenes? Those growing the grapes, crafting these vintages.
Yeah.
What's their perspective on this whole shifting landscape?
Well, you know, despite all these challenges, the report, it actually reveals a surprising amount of optimism among U.S. wineries.
Okay.
The majority are actually feeling pretty positive about the future.
That's encouraging to hear.
Yeah.
I imagine it takes a certain, you know, resilience to weather the storms in an industry as dynamic as winemaking.
Absolutely. I mean, these are people who understand, like, the ebb and flow of nature.
Yeah.
The unpredictable dance of supply and demand.
Yeah.
Right? But their optimism also, I think, speaks to their incredible ability to adapt innovate, right?
It makes you, like, appreciate that bottle of wine even more, you know?
Right.
Knowing the passion and dedication that went into crafting it.
Absolutely, yeah.
Wow.
Now, that's not to say that, you know, every corner of the industry is experiencing the same level of success.
Right.
The report kind of highlights that wineries in different regions are seeing varying degrees of growth.
Okay.
For instance, you know, those on the Central Coast and in the Pacific Northwest, they seem to be particularly well positioned these days.
That's interesting. I wouldn't have necessarily guessed those regions would be leading the pack.
Yeah.
What's driving their success?
It's a confluence of factors, right?
Right.
Local tourism plays a role, right?
Right.
As does, I think, the growing reputation of the specific wines produced in those areas.
Okay.
It really underscores, like, how much location,
right,
or terroir, as it's called in the wine world,
yes,
really influences a winery's success.
Terroir, that magical combination of soil, climate, you know,
everything
else that makes a wine unique.
Precisely. Yeah. Okay. Now, beyond those regional differences,
yeah,
the report also highlights a shift in how wineries are getting their bottles,
yeah,
you know, into the hands of eager consumers.
Okay.
We're seeing this rise in direct-to-consumer sales.
Okay.
Particularly among smaller wineries.
Direct-to-consumer, you mean like those wine clubs that you hear about or wineries selling directly from their tasting rooms?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. It's a way for smaller wineries, those producing, you know, limited quantities of really specialized wines, mm-hmm, to kind of bypass those traditional distribution channels.
Right.
And really forge this more personal connection with their customers.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's like having this direct line to the source.
Yeah.
You're getting access to, like, sure, exclusive vintages you might not find anywhere else.
Yeah.
I can definitely see the appeal for both the winery and the consumer.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head.
Uh-huh.
It allows the wineries to really tell their story, oh, share their passion, you know, build that loyal following.
So is this the future of the wine industry? Are we all going to be getting our wine directly from the vineyard someday?
That is the million-dollar question.
Right.
It's a fascinating question.
Yeah.
And to be honest, one without an easy answer.
Okay.
Well, direct to consumer is definitely booming.
Yeah.
Particularly for those smaller boutique wineries.
Right.
Larger producers, they face this different set of considerations.
Okay.
They're often looking at things like new brand creation.
Okay.
Or line extensions.
Think new flavor profiles, variations on existing products.
Okay.
To capture market share in this, you know, really competitive environment.
Line extension. So like a classic Cabernet Sauvignon getting like a modern twist.
Exactly.
Maybe with a hint of something unexpected.
Exactly. It's about innovation, right?
Right.
Appealing to these evolving palates and
right.
staying ahead of the curve.
Okay.
But this focus on premiumization, right? On
yeah.
these higher priced bottles, it raises a question, I think, for the budget conscious wine drinkers among us.
Oh, okay. You're reading my mind. Will we still be able to find those hidden gems?
Yeah.
Those delicious bottles that don't break the bank.
Yeah, that's where the report offers, I think, a note of uncertainty.
Okay.
The future of those more affordable wines.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit unclear, honestly, as production costs rise and consumer preferences, you know, gravitate towards those premium options.
The era of the budget-friendly bottle might be facing some headwinds here.
It's a bittersweet thought, you know. On the one hand, it's exciting to see, like, the industry, you know, evolve, push boundaries.
Right.
But on the other, you know, I'll admit I have a certain fondness for those go-to bottles that never disappoint.
Of course, yeah.
And they're usually pretty easy on the wallet.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, as with so many things in life, it seems like the world of wine is in constant flux.
Yeah.
But that's part of what makes exploring it so fascinating.
Right.
There's always something new to discover.
Yeah.
A new vintage to savor, a new story to uncover.
That's a beautiful way to put it. And as we kind of wrap up this deep dive into the U.S. wine industry,
yeah,
I'm struck by, like, the resilience of the people involved, you know, mm-hmm. their passion for their craft and their unwavering dedication to producing this product that really brings people together.
Cheers to that.
Yes, cheers to that.
And the next time you find yourself, you know, browsing the wine aisle, just remember what we talked about today.
Okay.
Those bottles, they represent like this tapestry of history,
right.
innovation, and yes, even a bit of, you know, economic intrigue.
Exactly. So go forth, explore those vineyards, whether in person or from the comfort of your own home, and see what treasures you uncork.
I love it.
Cheers.